Good evening, godless sodomites.
Yes, I think it is healthy for those who are religious to see that there is a contrary point of view.
Imagine no longer believing in God. In fact, even more boldly, being an atheist.
Push the atheist too far, and you're going to have an atheist movement. The atheists are going to fight back, and you might not want that. So be careful what you wish for, Christians.
You're tuned in to yet another podcast from the Angry Atheist.
Attempting conversation here with you.
You're gonna eat your babies!
Hello, and welcome to the Angry Atheist Podcast. Glad you made it. I know it's been a little bit of a delay between this podcast and the last one. Sorry about that. I get busy sometimes. Fortunately for you, there'll be another podcast following this one in a couple days. In the meantime, enjoy the conversation I had with G and Shane from Full Frontal Zealotry. It begins in 3, 2, 1, 0.5,
0.25, 0. Hey, Reap, how are you?
I'm okay.
That's good. Hang on, I was talking to Shane. Oh, can we add Shane into the call, or is it...
Can I add him? You add him? I don't care who adds him. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Who wants to go first?
Okay. Hi, my name's G. I'm a podcaster from Australia. That's basically all I do.
Nice. Next.
That and a little bit of music.
And I'm the coach, pretty much all I do. And occasionally I pick up the bass.
Good. Your Skype stuffed up just as you were introducing
yourself.
Yeah, you're
cutting out a little bit.
Did you hear that, Reed?
Yeah, he cut out. Now I think he's choking to death. This will be great radio. All right, Shane, try it again.
Introduce yourself again, Shane.
I'm Shane, and I'm Pope.
That's creepy. That's just creepy. Okay, Shane, I want you to do it one more time, and I want you to do it really, really slow. Really slow. Really slow, Shane. Really slow. Speak really slowly and clearly.
Do it real slow.
Yeah.
All right. What did I say again? Hello, my name is Shane, and I'm a co-podcaster, and occasionally I pick up a bass, I think.
Nice. It worked that time.
So we're pretty codependent in our podcast.
Yeah, you guys are into music too, huh?
We both are, but we're in different bands, I guess. Shane's in a real band, and they play gigs and stuff every 6 months or so, and they put out albums, and they all write music together, and they practice every Thursday night, isn't it, Shane?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
Which ruins my podcasting recording schedule, because Thursday night would be very good for me.
Yeah. And how inconsiderate is that?
A guy from Pennsylvania. I write the lyrics and record my vocals over the top of his music for a project called Meme War.
You guys are in... Where are you guys at right now?
We're in Brisbane, Australia.
And the guy in Pennsylvania writes the...
He writes all the music. He's a really talented musician.
Awesome.
He writes, we started off as basically a straight heavy metal band, but we've sort of become more progressive rock, progressive metal, and everything in between, and a little bit of techno every now and then too.
Yeah, that's a good mix. Who's your influences?
My own personal influences, as far as singing is concerned.
Music.
Although I sound nothing like them. Bruce Dickinson, probably Queensryche, lots of Megadeth. They were the first band that I really loved.
Yeah.
Now I really hate them.
Fucking Dave Mustaine.
I don't actually really hate them. I just think Dave Mustaine's a dick.
Dave Mustaine needs to start doing dope again so he can be a decent human being. He's only a decent human being when he's doing drugs.
Drinking again.
I'm telling you.
What happened to his politics?
I don't fucking know.
Back in the Countdown to Extinction days and even before that.
I know.
It was all very, like...
I know. Peace sells, and then Countdown to Extinction.
Yep.
So far, so good. Like, so what? I love making it.
Those CCTV cameras up on the wall, they're great for you. They protect us.
Mm.
Do what the government tells you. Be a sheep.
Yeah. Dave Mustaine just took, man, I'm telling you, there's some people that just need to do drugs to be decent people. He's one of those people. He's got me convinced.
It seems that way. I'm telling you.
Because he was cool then. And then he stopped doing dope and he got all weirded out. And he's getting worse.
He got born again, didn't he?
Yeah, he got born again. You know what? If that helps him to stop doing dope, good. But I think he went a little overboard with it. He's to the point now where he's damaging himself more than he was when he was abusing drugs.
Yeah.
And Alice Cooper, who supposedly, baptized him or something?
I didn't know about this. Really?
He's conservative and all that sort of thing, but he's not a complete dick.
Yeah, there's a couple people that, Ted Nugent's a dick too, but I never liked his music anyways. I always thought he kind of sucked.
Stranglehold's a great song, man.
Well, overall, he's not really, his contribution to music hasn't impressed me at all.
Not at all.
And then his big goddamn mouth,
Holy shit.
Well, shut up.
I'd forgotten he existed up until a few years ago when he started sprouting out all of his vitriol.
Yeah, until he started threatening the president.
Yeah.
Who the hell does that? Really? He's just a loon. I wonder if he even has a mirror in his house. I bet if we bought him a couple mirrors to put in his house, he'd calm right down. A couple looks at himself in his reflection, he'd go, holy shit.
Maybe.
What the fuck happened to me? I better chill the hell out. So, I think Bruce Dickinson's good, though. I like Bruce Dickinson. You don't hear a lot about him, though. He's pretty quiet these days, from what I...
He hasn't done a solo album for a while, but Iron Maiden have been touring.
Man, they were awesome.
He's a bit of a Superman, really.
Yeah.
He's flies a plane. I don't know if he actually went to the Olympics, but he was like an Olympic fencer.
Yeah, he was.
Not a guy that puts up fences, but a guy that's fighting a sword.
He was very good at it too, right?
Yeah. Well, he's Olympic level, so I'm not sure if he actually got into the Olympic team or not for England, but he was certainly, or for Britain.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that.
Very good.
Almost forgot about that. So, Shane, who are your influences?
I don't know, the Eagles.
People who sing. Tool. People who sing. People who play guitar.
People who sing. Tool, Pink Floyd. Porcupine Tree. Opeth. I don't know. I like pretty much everything.
Yeah, interesting
anything
contrast.
Everything that's interesting. Muse has been getting on my radar for the last few years as well.
Yeah.
I like pop music and stuff as well.
Yeah.
It just needs to be good rather than it needs to sound like someone knows what they're doing.
That's what I kind of have I've had that feeling too. If it's good, then I like it. If it sucks, then I don't like it.
Yeah. I've got bands that I just adore and will probably continue to follow regardless of how stupid they get.
Yeah.
Although I held on to Metallica for so long that I just can't anymore.
Fucking Metallica pisses me off too. Man, you know what? I live in the Bay Area, right, in California, and I remember there was a place called The Stone, a club called The Stone in San Francisco, and I remember going to The Stone. I used to go there all the time. I practically lived there because the metal scene was so great here, and I remember them peddling their cassette tapes on the street.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, trying just before they'd made it, and then to think about what they came to when that Napster thing came along.
Your eyes and all that sort of shit.
Disgusting. Disgust me.
Well,
how
I got
you
to see them, they toured Australia in 89, this tour, and that was the first time they'd come to Australia, and I got to see them in Sydney, and that was fucking amazing. That was just an incredible concert.
Yeah,
they played for something like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And pretty much after that, the Black Album was all right. It was sort of a pop album as far as metal was concerned, but, the second side's really good, actually.
Yeah.
I still like listening to the second side of the Black Album.
Let's
talk about it like there's LPs still.
There aren't?
Side 1 and side 2. Oh, that costs.
Wait a minute.
But the second half, I guess, of the album.
Yeah.
But after that, I lost. I gave Load a go and went, no, I can't. I can't anymore. And then when they came back with Saint Anger, I just thought, no, these guys have lost the plot.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it. I don't think I've even heard that album. No interest, man. No interest after that. That Napster thing really, really, really pissed me off. That was just so fucking
pissed
greedy.
A lot of people off.
Incredibly greedy. Especially when there was no options for people. you know, the record companies were just being dickheads about it. They've been ripping people off on CDs for years already, you know. Fucking bullshit. I guess they're just now getting to the point where they're getting caught up in making money again.
Well, I think they've been making money on all the everything else they were doing other than music.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been making money on their tours for years.
Well, they're
still
the
one of the best live bands out there.
Yeah,
they're still incredibly good live, even if James's voice isn't really up to it anymore. They're still very entertaining.
Yeah.
And you know,
I wouldn't go see them.
Yeah, I haven't seen them for years, but I saw them at a festival a few years ago, and they were great.
Yeah.
You know, but. They were touring St. Anger, and they played one song off St. Anger, and then they played the rest of the show was Justice for All back.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They didn't play a single song. Oh no, they probably played a couple.
Because there's nothing else really that has any staying power except for maybe remake they did. What was it called? Remake of the Whiskey.
Whiskey in a Jar.
Yeah, Whiskey in a Jar. That's a decent remake. That's a decent song.
That's a lot of help from a lot of other people though. I think Metallica grew like about four or five other members for that song.
And then they did the thing with the orchestra, right?
Sorry, with who?
With the orchestra, with the symphony.
Symphony
wasn't it was all right.
Yeah, there were moments where it worked really well. Michael Kamen is a bit of a god when it comes to rock and music. I mean, he did the Wall with Floyd, he was born into that. Well, not born into it, but
hey,
to do that sort of stuff.
Have you ever watched the Pink Floyd movie with what is it? Do you watch The Wizard of Oz with the Pink Floyd in the soundtrack and the Wall playing in the background, right?
Yeah, I've tried, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Like waiting for the third Roar of the Lion and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It just didn't work for me. But I have done it for other movies. And with other soundtracks. I found a website years ago that did, I think it was moviesync.com or something like that. They talked about all these different movies. And I did a bunch of them. And some of them work, some of them don't. Right. It didn't work for me for that, for whatever reason, for that one.
What about you, G? You ever tried that?
No. Do you have to be stoned?
I think you have to be stoned.
Bad, okay.
Yeah,
it helps.
Sure. I'm pretty sure you have to be stoned. I don't know. I never tried it. I don't smoke weed, so I figured it was weak. What's the point? Try it. I just wanted to know if somebody else had tried it and it worked.
Yeah, not that one particularly, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I did a really weird one where What Dreams May Come, the Robin Williams.
Oh,
weird,
yeah, yeah.
Sort of,
I heard about that movie.
The Richard Matheson book. And The 13th Step by A Perfect Circle.
Really? It's interesting.
When the two boats collide at the beginning, if anyone wants to do this, when the two boats collide at the beginning of the opening scene in the movie, hit play on the CD player of the 13th Step of A Perfect Circle, and repeat, hit repeat on the whole album, and let it play through a second time on the way out, and the themes of the album and the themes of the movie work really well together, because the movie's all about death. And so is the album.
Yeah.
And there are, I don't think I was stoned. It could have been, though. But yeah, the themes of the album and the themes of the movie actually work pretty well together.
Yeah.
So, and the album's sort of about death and hope. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it's, you know, if you've got an hour and a half in your day that you just feel like wasting, that's a good way to do it.
Nice.
So that sounds like a very interesting project to actually do something like that. Sync up an album to. Like write an album specifically to be synced up to a movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can do that pretty easy too if you can get the, because you know how when you break up with your girlfriend, every song sounds like it's for you.
Yeah.
Kind of deal? That's a very common feeling people get. I mean, and that's a common occurrence, and it's just natural. It's the way our brains work. But if you could get that vibe, if you could latch onto that, you could write a pretty fucking good soundtrack to a movie, and yeah, hook it. Have people hooked.
Cool.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Can I do it, Shane?
Okay, man.
That's like, what's it called? It's like Pareidolia, kind of, right? I think it'd be in the same vein as that.
It is, actually. Yeah.
Because you'd kind of be making...
Shane's our resident FFZ expert on Pareidolia.
Is he?
Yeah.
I see faces everywhere. Is that what you're trying to say, Rick?
It's not just faces, it sounds, too, though.
It's right.
I think Pareidolia is more sounds, and then... matrixing is faces and in the clouds and shit like that, shapes in clouds.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that that's okay. The way they're usually used. I mean, that's the way they're applied in the paranormal community anyways. I don't know if they're right about anything, but they might be right about
it. Yeah, right. Okay.
Pareidolia is not a very often used word. More matrixing, kind of, is what they usually use. I don't know if that's
we'll have to throw it in every episode from now on. We'll have a pareidolia story.
You should, because right. People don't know what the hell you're talking
about. We did actually talk about doing it. We did a couple of episodes of our podcast in a row. We had pareidolia stories.
That's right.
Really?
And, then, and basically we were going to go and search out for news articles, like just have a pareidolia sort of search on Google.
Yeah.
Just nice. And just do a really lazy podcast.
You should just do a whole podcast backwards.
Back mask, yeah, right.
Yeah, backward masking. It's pretty amazing. Have you seen Michael Shermer do that with the Led Zeppelin lyrics?
No.
If you watch, there's a video Michael Shermer has. If you watch, and I can't remember what it was. It was a couple years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. He has the lyrics for the Led Zeppelin song up on the screen, and he plays it backwards. And then you kind of, you know, get some words out of it, you know, get some things that you've just made up yourself. And then he shows you what it's supposed to say and plays it again. And it's amazing how you'll actually start to hear the words that, you know, he puts up on the screen. Your brain will just go, yeah, that's that, that's that, that's that. It just matches. It's just really, really creepy and weird how it works.
Yeah.
One of those lines from that Judas Priest trial, I bought my love of peppermint or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Did that occur in California?
I think so. That's a long time
ago. That was like 89 or 90 or something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a while ago,
Yeah, it was back when Rob Halford had hair.
And before anybody knew he was gay, right? Fuck. That's got to be the most amazing thing. You know, when he came out and he said he was gay and everybody went, oh my God, I went, really? What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Freddie Mercury was the same thing.
God, you know, man, Freddie Mercury could sing like a motherfucker too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Man, what a waste. He could sing.
True. But it's, I won't call him a friend, an acquaintance of mine who will no longer listen to Queen since he found out that it's Freddie.
Are you fucking kidding me, really?
No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I just shook my head when I heard that. And went, that's just sad. There's not much I could say about that.
Yeah, I quite often have to stop listening to Queen because it starts feeling really sad. That
I know.
Especially
the soundtrack to Highlander, the music they did for Highlander. Mm-hmm. God, that's some sad ass music, man. Like, fuck, that's just sad. Just make me depressed.
It's brilliant. It's so good. Well, I mean, it's so good that we still get to listen to him. Yeah.
That's one thing Queen about technology too. It's made us all, we're all immortal now. You know that, you guys included. There's some podcasters.
Well, that's why we do it.
That's why I do podcasts. I know 100 years from now, some sorry son of a bitch is going to be so bored he's going to be listening to my shit. I just know it.
deconstructing the beginning of the 21st century using podcasts.
Yeah. Unless I make it to the singularity, then I won't have to worry about it. I can promote my own shit. that's what my goal is.
Making it to the singularity is one of your goals.
That's one of my life goals. Yeah, I want to make it to the singularity so I can have my consciousness put into some kind of cyborg or something badass, something cool. I don't care. It could be a car, a toaster oven. If it's a smart toaster oven, I'll go for it.
Just like a Red Wolf.
Hey man, I'll be immortal. What the fuck does it mean? You know, an immortal toaster oven's better than dead.
Have you seen Red Dwarf? Right?
You seen what?
Red Dwarf.
No.
It's a British comedy sci-fi show. And there's a toaster oven in that, and he's just so snarky about everything.
Nice.
Like he'll have a big conversation with someone, but every conversation ends with, "Would you like some toast?"
Nice. I was thinking more along the lines of the Brave Little Toaster, but I know somebody's seen that, but yeah, it's a cartoon. Sorry. I was looking at the background masking thing, and what is it? Judas Priest, Better by You, Better Than Me, in 1990. Led to the suicide and attempted suicide of two men in 1985. So the court case wasn't until the 90s.
So it must have been in the late 80s when the trial came about.
It was in 1990 the court case started, and the attempted suicide was in 85.
Wow. Yeah.
So the guy that that survived and shot himself in the face with a shotgun or whatever it was?
I think he's passed on now.
Has he? Okay.
Passed on.
The gun slipped, blowing away the lower half of his face. He later told a reporter, how the fuck did he tell him that? Part of a suicide pact he'd made. We had been programmed. I knew I was going to do it. I was afraid. I didn't want to die. It's just as if I had no choice. He slipped into a coma 3 years later and died.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's someone else's fault all the time.
That's always someone else's fault.
Yeah. I mean,
because in my household, anything that goes wrong is my fault.
Yeah, shit that doesn't even, I don't even know about it. It's my fault. I don't have to know about things that are my fault.
Yeah.
You know? I guess they were saying the track encouraged listeners to commit suicide and do it. It was called the Do It Suit.
Yes. Man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they played it back, I remember, because I've seen, there's a documentary about this. I can't remember what doco was called. But when they play it back, you can't hear it. It's one of those things. You can't hear it unless someone points out there. That's where it says do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, that's all right. Fair
exactly.
enough.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what Shermer does too. And that's called primering. You primer someone when you do
that. Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember what G was talking about, where they played another one of their tracks backwards and it says something about, do you want some peppermint? Or something like that. It's like,
yeah,
well,
that's what I don't get.
Did peppermint sales go up during the, you know, when the song was released?
I know. I mean, really, do people really think that that background shit is really going to make people do things?
The thing is, it's not just background though. It's actually, it's running backwards. Like,
yeah, backwards. Yeah, exactly.
How can you hear it backwards?
Exactly.
Like, brain can't function that. Your brain doesn't function that way. It doesn't hear things that aren't there. Well, it does hear things that aren't there, but how do I say?
But the
this?
Things it hears are not specific to everyone. They're not. Everyone doesn't hear the same thing.
No, that's right. That's right. But you certainly can't hear something that's, one, not there anyway, and the other, and also, but running in a direction that it's not going. I don't know even how to fucking describe this.
Yeah, like your brain, like it takes all the data and like plays it backwards first just to check and see what might be a message there for it.
Yeah.
Well, there might be something important hidden in this. I better play it backwards first.
Isn't there a little bit of everyone wants to feel like their brain works better than it does?
Don't they ever?
Yeah.
So there's all this unknown stuff that they don't know about, so you know, they can feel good about the fact that they're a failure in life.
Yeah.
It's like people sitting there trying to remember something. You know, you see people close their eyes and they're trying to remember, if you ask them, you know, what color something was one day, and they close their eyes, and they come up with a color, but it doesn't mean it's the fucking color that it was, the, you know, that they saw.
Yeah.
It's just a, it's a reconstruction of an event, of a memory of a memory.
Yeah.
So it's the brain doesn't function.
You know, when you've got something you can't quite remember, it's on the tip of your tongue, they say that you're supposed to stop thinking about it at all. Just quit thinking about it, because if you keep on trying to remember it, you reinforce the pathways that are wrong in your brain, because the pathways to that memory aren't solid in your brain. So when you keep on trying to force yourself to remember it, you reinforce those bad pathways and you're less likely to be able to remember it, and it won't be a solid memory, they say.
That makes some sort of logical sense, yeah.
Makes sense to me.
That's what I use honey bourbon for, a similar thing. Every now and then it's good to have a really good drink and reboot your brain.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I don't get some of the fucking stupid shit that they say that these things say backwards either. I mean, why the fuck would you say some of this stuff?
Fun to smoke marijuana,
you know.
Well,
it's because it's true.
What's this? What is this? Jay-Z supposed to say 666 murder Jesus 666 when played backwards. What the fuck is the point in that?
I don't know. Jesus is already dead.
Oh, he wasn't even real. You might as well say Puff the Magic Dragon, smoke a big bat joint. You know?
There's plenty of shit that's played forward that's bad enough.
No shit to that. So yeah. who sucks?
Who sucks?
Yeah, who musically? Sucks right now? Musically, who sucks? Who's crap?
Well, I mean, Bieber is an obvious choice.
Yeah.
I like him.
But he could play the drums when he was 3 years old. He's a miracle child.
Who gives a shit?
I know, exactly.
He's a twit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a noxious little turd. But, you know, it'd be great if he could just be a musician and not be a
cockhead.
An asshole. Yeah. An asshole. But, who's shit? I don't know. I don't really dislike anyone musically. I actually think Skrillex is pretty cool.
Gee, who sucks? Who sucks, G?
I don't really listen to pop music, so I don't listen to the radio anymore. Just listen to metal and anything that sort of I hear my wife playing. So,
yeah.
I mean, I get a filtered version of pop music, I guess, through her, but I don't really listen to anything. So, yeah. I don't, even Justin Bieber, who cares? Just, I don't really think they suck.
I don't know if I've ever heard a Justin Bieber song all the way through once.
Yeah, I think I have a couple. I mean, I usually give them a shot. They're generally, and the sad thing is that most of the time when you search out the original, the song itself, in him doing it, some sort of acoustic form of it, you know, in front of a camera or on a TV show or something like that, the song's really good, you know. Yeah. It can still be as shallow as Baby Baby Ooh Ooh, you know, which is just drives me nuts anyway.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone sucks. The whole pop music industry sucks. It's very, very rare that they'll ever get a song out there that's, you know, is this too much for it? You know, too much hate? I think everyone in the pop music industry sucks.
No, that's cool.
Because we're getting watered down versions of real music created. And so people don't know that there's better stuff out there.
Yeah.
True.
So I don't know. Do they? I mean, I think a lot more people do know, but a lot of people still don't. But the way the industry's changed, I mean, who listens to radio anymore? You know, who listens to that? I mean, it's not like it used to be. There'll never be another Michael Jackson.
Yeah, no, I listen to podcasts when I'm in the car driving to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well,
I started listening to AM radio.
Me too. I listen to AM radio, talk radio a lot.
Yeah. Usually get frustrated and turn it off.
yeah,
and then start listening to some music after a bit. But I mean, there's still plenty of good pop music out there, but generally it's the pop music that people create themselves and you know, in their bedrooms and send it out into the world, and it breaks through every now and again. And it also depends on how you define pop music. I mean, pop music, in its own definition is
good point.
Popular music, but it's really a type of sound now.
Yeah,
it's not just, and I've been listening to Pink over the last week or so, and I don't know why, but I like her. I think she's got a great
she has a good energy.
Yeah, a great voice, some pretty cool, funny songs, and just knowing that she actually writes a lot of her own lyrics and some of her own music, and just people that are actually involved in creating their own persona and their own
kind of tell.
Product is really important for me personally.
I think
a lot of the great pop music of the 60s and 70s weren't written by, and 50s weren't written by, you know, the people themselves.
No.
But it's these days, I think, if you want to be, for me to get you to listen, you know, to listen to you, then you need to be the creator of the majority of what you do, or, you know, a lot of what you do.
Yeah, I think you can tell when somebody has actually, into their music, you know, the energy or the feeling of it when they're singing or whatever, playing, you can kind of tell if they're into it or not.
Well, that's going to be a problem for Shane and I when we eventually get off our asses and do our Christian metal band to exploit that market.
Yeah. Like Stryper?
No, probably not as flamboyant as
Lame?
Not as Bon Jovi as Stryper. It's going to be more metal.
Were Stryper or Bon Jovi? Who came first, Bon Jovi or Stryper?
Oh, Stryper.
I think Stryper came first, yeah.
Yeah, I think Stryper came from the late 70s.
Yeah.
Man,
what a band that was.
The B look.
I'm telling you. There was something about Stripes in the 80s. Stripes.
Yeah. That black and yellow. I don't know if it was supposed to be warning thing or if they were supposed to be, you know, the flight of the bumblebees.
I don't know.
It was that they all went into the Tour de France and won a stage each.
Could be. Somebody's brainstorm is for sure.
Yeah.
Great marketing. Those Christians really know how to market shit.
Well, that's right. I mean, the thing is, it's when Stryper were kind of big, there was still a lot of fun, and I was growing up in a fundamentalist house, or at least one side was, my mum was fundamentalist and my stepfather was, didn't give a shit one way or the other, but he wasn't raising us anyway. So it was, he was, yeah, so it didn't matter whether it was metal, rock, pop, it didn't matter whether it was Christian or secular, it was of the devil.
Yeah.
So it took me years to be able to tell mum that I had a Petra tape. yeah, and the fact that I played guitar so loud and all that sort of, I don't know how, she must have been going through some serious cognitive dissonance while I was growing up. But
loud equals evil.
Sorry?
Loud equals evil. That was kind of the mindset,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, basically, that's right. If it wasn't a hymn, then it wasn't of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was... and it was pretty widespread. I mean, Queensland was, in Australia, was the buckle of our Bible Belt. And we didn't have a Bible Belt. We just had a buckle, and it was Queensland.
buckle's enough, though.
It was, you know, being homosexual was illegal up until 88.
Wow.
Or something like that. So it was, yeah, it was...
Yeah, World Expo 88, that's when we had... So in 88, we had a World Expo in Brisbane.
Yeah.
So they had to change the laws then.
Ah, because the world was watching, is that why?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's funny how people act a little differently when...
Incumbent Premier that was 20 years. I think he'd been in power for 20 years in the state.
Wow.
Along those
the lines. Level of corruption in the government, not really bad corruption like you'd see from a... third world country, but just the level of, you know, this person will get this
good
business
old boy
deal because they know the right people, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the good old boy network was built up pretty strong.
Yeah, it was. Oh,
hell
very
yeah.
Much so.
Yeah. The brothels owned by the police force.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine there were some people pretty set up.
There was, yeah.
Over
it
that amount of time.
All fell apart during the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. But
when I got involved in student politics, the early 90s, because that's when I was at uni and university. And it was really, I think looking back now, it was a bit sad because all that stuff had already been gone away. So we were organizing marches and stuff, and we'd start off in the march. I was involved in organizing one of them, and then my mate and I I remember we ended up in a pub while the rest of the march continued on. And I think we rejoined them later on.
Nice.
I didn't have a heavy involvement in student politics, but I did go on a couple of marches, and it was just really, it just didn't feel right at the time. I think it was all, you know, we're all enthusiastic and we all want to be involved in
it
student
cool.
politics, but I think that phase had passed where the bad stuff had already gone.
Yeah.
Although we were in the middle of a recession and they were cutting back on funding for universities and all sorts of stuff.
Well, so there's still stuff to be pissed off about.
Oh, yeah.
There's always something to be
pissed off. They always find something. Yeah. You always find something. I think when you're in college, you have to find something to be pissed off about.
Whereas it was really my parents that were dealing with the 17%, you know, home loan mortgage interest rates and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
So they should have been the ones marching. Not
no
me.
Shit, huh? It's like that a lot of times too. Yeah, no shit. All right, let's what do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about how you became atheist, or you want to talk about the podcast first?
Go,
Shane, you can talk about the podcast.
Okay. why do we start this podcast? Why do we do this podcast? We do this, I don't know, because...
That's a question I've been struggling with for a while. Lately,
let's start with the name. What's it called?
Why the fuck are we doing this shit? we do it... I think I do it because I need to voice some frustration. I need to an outlet of some sort of frustration.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
And it's all good doing it inside of your own head, but it just ends up being some sort of loop.
Yeah.
And I'm not out there. This, I think, our podcast is purely for the choir. We are not out there to help people convert out of their faith or even discover skepticism or whatever. This is purely so I think people can have a giggle and sit there and go, I feel like that too sometimes.
If they can relate, cool. If they can't, well, maybe they like to listen to it.
Then they're not on the same wavelength. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, you know, whether they get our humor, get our politics, or get our skepticism, which isn't robust in the way that we do things, but it's just about venting, I think, at the end of the day, and having a giggle about how ridiculous things can be.
Yeah,
and that's it. And it's a vehicle to play a song.
Yeah, no shit. Huh?
So, I don't think, I think our podcast is necessary. You need some podcasts purely for people to listen to go, yes, I've chosen the right direction in life or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that we're ever going to say anything that's particularly intelligent, but.
You have your moments. You have your moments.
Yeah. And that's the reason I still do the podcast, because it's starting to bore the shit out of me, truthfully. Every now and then there'll be a moment where Shane will say something that'll just make me go, well, I'm glad we do this, because he's had a moment of just, he's gone on a long rant for 2 minutes that I'll probably chop down to 30 seconds, but he said something really insightful.
Funny. How'd you guys, how'd you come up with the name?
G did that.
Yeah.
Full frontal zealotry. I don't know. I don't know why my brain comes up with things like that.
Yeah, I can relate
to that. It's the same way that when I write lyrics for my songs, I don't have a muse because I don't believe in that sort of stuff, but I believe my brain, I don't understand how my brain works or how anyone's brain works, but yeah, it just comes up with stuff.
I can relate to that too.
Yeah.
Kind of weird sometimes. Because people ask me, where did you come up with that? Or where did that come from? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
No. Yeah.
How the hell should I know?
One day it just popped out. Yeah.
Just thinking, and I can totally relate to the just doing it as an outlet too, because I know that's why I do the other podcast. Is just, it's my podcast, and I'll do whatever I want on it. And sometimes people have a problem with that, but they can go to hell, you know. To be honest, it's just. I mean, if people enjoy it, that's good, and I'm glad when they enjoy it. But when people have things to say about it, it's not that I'm protective of it so much as I really don't. Not to be a dick, but I really don't care if they don't like what I'm talking about, because it's my outlet. It helps me to deal with the jacked up stupid people that I have to deal with, or things, or whatever's going on in life itself. I can kind of, because things are different when you say them out loud.
Some of it doesn't matter that you know, sometimes I get jacked up about stuff that just doesn't affect me, but in any real way, but I still have the right to say something if I feel like it, you know.
Yeah, and there's sometimes when someone has to say something.
I feel like that too. It's like, you know, it's not like I'm going to be the only voice out there, or G's going to be the only voice, or even yourself. It's just, you know, if you feel like if you don't say something, then it's just getting caught up inside of you. So let it out and move on with your life, sort of thing.
And it reinforces that meme, whatever it is, whatever fight for equality or whatever it is, it reinforces that meme on the internet. So there's more than one person. If it was just Richard Dawkins saying there's no God because of blah, 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 then everyone would just go, oh, it's just Richard Dawkins. He's one of those crazy preacher guys. But because there's thousands of us doing this right now on YouTube, on iTunes, on podcasts, and all sorts of stuff.
We're just another voice in adding to the
the chorus of hate from atheists.
Hateful atheists, hating everything, not believing in anything, because we're just so unbelieving. We don't have any faith in anything.
Nihilist bastards.
We just don't care.
Right.
We just don't care. We just hate. We're mad at God.
We're mad at God. Okay, cool.
We're mad at him. We got to get over being mad at him, and then we'll be okay.
Okay.
I'm so sick of people saying that. Like, I'm really, really not mad. Yes, you are. You're mad. You're mad at God.
Okay.
Okay, well, you keep thinking that if you like.
So I started doing podcasts. One of the main pushes for me doing a podcast was because in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, there was a group from Canada called Rant Radio. And I'm not sure if anyone else has ever heard of them, but they did have quite a few followers. And they were doing a podcast called, I can't remember the name of it, But they were doing a podcast, and one of the guys would do a rant every week. Sean Kennedy was the name of the guy. He'd do a rant every week. And I think you can still find his stuff on YouTube, and there's probably rantradio.ca or whatever it was, still exists. That was sort of the main inspiration for me doing a podcast to begin with. So I thought, you know, finally, now that I'm middle-aged, you know, I've sort of reached the level where they were when they were in their 20s.
Yeah.
Plus, I've got thousands of dollars of recording equipment in my studio, so
you can't let that go to waste.
Well, see, that was the other thing too. I think we, because we already had the equipment to do this, it was a fairly straightforward thing to do as well. And we already sat around tables and talked about this sort of shit, and that's argued and you know, whatever. So
we're just putting it out for the world to hear. Really, was the difference?
Yeah. And G does a fantastic job of turning my 2-minute incoherent rants into something that's finally slightly coherent. So
sometimes I think I would benefit from something like that, but then I just go, "Ah, fuck it." Yeah, Rant Radio is rantmedia.ca.
Okay, cool. Yeah, some of his Sean Kennedy stuff is just hilariously brilliant.
I guess they've got a new, this is a new website, it says, but I don't know when it was new. Oh, it's in 2009 it was new. So, there you go.
Yeah, so they're still going.
Yeah, yeah. Still got their stuff
still
posted.
Their website up, at least.
Yeah. Mm. I see they've got porn links too, so they can't be all bad.
I think that originally they were inspired by Jilla Biafra. Yeah, from the Dead Kennedys.
Oh,
because he was doing something on New York radio that was sort of connected to the Hacker, what was it, 2600 or whatever it was, Hacker podcast.
Yeah.
But okay. So with Emmanuel Goldstein. So I guess I listened to a lot of podcasts years ago, and I started getting into them again.
Mm. Big time.
I'm a late bloomer when it comes to technology in general.
Yeah, me too.
Skype. I started using Skype for the first time about 2 months ago or whatever it was.
Oh, wow, you are new.
maybe 6 months ago. Yeah, no, it's just most of it didn't really interest me. As far as I think YouTube was fascinating for a while and then got boring.
Man, YouTube, what a wasteland that is sometimes.
Yeah. It's great to search out some old songs.
Yeah, but where can you have somebody watch? 2 million people watch something and nothing in the world changes.
Yeah,
not a fucking thing changes. 2 million people watch a video and nothing gets affected at all. You know,
no.
It's just weird to me.
yeah.
In the comments, just the IQ drops as soon as the comment section.
Oh shit! Yeah, I try to tear myself away from comments.
Even
if I agree with them, I still disagree with how they fucking commenting.
Just because they're commenting, it's like you're wrong just because you fucking said something.
Just
for speaking. So, YouTube's weird. YouTube's weird because it can affect the world, but it can also just, I don't know, it just seems like a big waste of time sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
It's great for singing practice. I use karaoke tracks on YouTube.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah?
Cool. Well, I mean, I learn bass lines and stuff on YouTube and stuff as well. So.
There's a lot of bands that have made it through YouTube too.
Mm. Yep. I kind of don't know how.
I don't know how either.
I guess luck is falls into
catchy videos. I guess I've been thinking about just getting more into video editing. I've done a bit of that in the past too. Nice videos would be a good step in the right direction for making it. Not that I particularly want to make it.
Yeah,
quite happy with my life as is.
I watched David Lynch. David Lynch did the latest video for Nine Inch Nails for a song called "Came Back Haunted," which I like. The song's cool. Nine Inch Nails is a huge influence on me.
Good.
I started listening to them when they first came out, '89.
I fucking hate them.
I like them and I hate them. Some of their songs are. They're like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And some of them are just off the hook, great. Great song.
Yeah. Well, he's just, I don't know, as far as a talented person is concerned, he's just one of the true figures of just on the edge of insanity kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But hit the latest, if you ever check out the film clip to Come Back Haunted, or Came Back Haunted, I think it is, David Lynch, I watched the clip and then went, okay, I can make videos. Because it's really, it's bad. Like, it's pretty, what? Nice. And I've watched plenty of David Lynch movies. I like some, not all, of David Lynch's stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a mess. So, it's, I don't know. I'm sure Trent Reznor is happy with it, having Dave Lynch do a clip for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There's nothing in it that made me think, wow, that's that was probably worth
it. This is one of the masters of making films.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys ever listen to Ministry?
Yeah.
Alan Jorgensen was, I think, was awesome.
Yeah, true.
I don't know what happened to him, though.
I thought that was still doing their thing.
But he got all mellowed out. It's like he got old and tired.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I kind of stopped Ministry. I don't know. What was... the Psalm 69 album, whatever that was called.
Yeah.
That was really the last album that I really gave
any... That was the
peak,
yeah. That was definitely the peak.
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Any credence to. But I still like Land of Rape and Honey.
Yeah, the mind is a terrible thing to taste. It's good, too.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So he's, again, early stuff, great. Late stuff, yeah. You know, yeah. It's good, but it just didn't continue to pique my interest, I guess. Yeah. That's kind of why I continued down the Nine Inch Nails path, because he's
got staying power more than
always his music, but there's always something different. Each album has something different to add to what he did before.
Exactly.
Which is, I thought.
I gotta like a band that can evolve without losing their basic feel or sound.
That's right.
You know, it's a tricky thing for a lot of bands to do. They can't do it, but
I don't like the Foo Fighters, but Foo Fighters do it.
Yeah.
And Queens of the Stone Age, they're another band that it's always very Queens of the Stone Age, but they have a very different kind of sound each album, or feel each album. There's Muse, that extremely, their latest album is just an extension of what they've already been doing before.
Yeah, I haven't heard their latest album. I'll have to listen to that.
Second Law. Yeah, it's really... Yeah, I really dig it. It's very... everything they do is extremely passionate, which is just, you know, it's perfect pop music for me, because it has elements of prog and dance and just heavy rock and, you know... And the bass player sings a couple of songs in this one, and he's got a really cool voice. So... Yeah, mixing it up a bit, which is cool.
What about Die Antwoord? Have you guys heard of them?
No.
I'll give you guys a link for these guys. They're from South Africa. They're like a rap band, but they consider themselves artists, and I don't know why, for some reason I like them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're YouTube success stories.
Yep.
They're just a bunch of people from just a low life, just the slums of South Africa. They kind of started doing YouTube videos and caught on, and they've got... It's interesting, their art, their concept.
Cool.
Now, we're at an hour, but you guys have time to stick around? Because since I have both of you on, I figured we'd go longer if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We'll have about 20 minutes.
Okay, that's cool. Then I'll keep you as long as you guys can, and we'll go a little bit longer.
Do you edit the podcast?
What's that?
Do you edit the podcast?
Usually I don't edit very much. Okay. I like to keep as much in as I can.
Sure.
Just so the conversation flows kind of like the way it has, unless it doesn't work. There are exceptions to that, though. There's sometimes when you talk to people where it really needs to be edited.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, when you listen back to this, you'll go, "Oh, fucking hell!"
No. This will be okay.
Why did I ever ask? Like,
come on, no. You guys are
come on my podcast.
I didn't know we were going to end up talking about music the whole time, though. But
we'll
change the subject in a minute. Because I want you guys each have to tell me your story of how you became atheists. So I don't know.
Okay, my story is very short.
Okay.
I was born.
That's the fault.
That's pretty much it.
Is that it? You never had any influence or any...
I was raised a Catholic. Okay, so my story is slightly longer. That was the abridged version. This is the slightly longer version. I was raised a Catholic and did my communion, first communion, confirmation, all that sort of stuff. Went away to church camp just before my confirmation. Never got touched up by the priest. first, so that was pretty disappointing for me. That was the first time I realized I was ugly.
First rejection you ever had?
And I used to go to church every Sunday. I mean, I wasn't one of those Catholics that went on at Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
My mum would drag us to church every Sunday. And I remember once this lady said to my mum, because I used to play up throughout the whole service, an old lady said to my mum, "I hope he gets better for you soon, love." So that sort of indicates what sort of child. I was just bored out of my brain the whole time. So when I was about 15 or 16, I just said, "I'm not going to church anymore." And mum finally gave up. But she still has conversations with me, even to this day, where she'll say, "You're not really an atheist, are you?"
She's in denial? Or
She's not. She just wishes that I'd go back and embrace Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least, I mean, you never got any real slack for it, though. I mean, you never got pissed off at you about it, right?
Well, no, I never copped anything because my dad was pretty much an atheist. So he never went to church. So it was pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah.
He accepted that mum wanted to raise us as Catholics. But of my brother and my sisters, I can't see that any of them are really full-on religious.
Yeah.
So there's no real damage done.
They're not out as atheists. They just don't have any interest in religion, really, kind of deal.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, that's the way most people are, though, isn't it? I think
most people that are raised Catholic are like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how anybody can even be a freaking Catholic after all the crap that's gone down.
There is a lot. Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of politics and bullshit that goes on. And
absolutely, yeah.
We actually had someone, a priest in Toowoomba, which is a couple of hours drive from Brisbane, where we are, was actually taken out of his position for supporting gay marriage and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of crap that goes on. And in the local parishes, there'll be support for certain things. And it doesn't gel with what Rome is saying. So, you know, priests get not excommunicated, but they get taken out of their position as priests.
Because they're not on the same page.
Yeah, just don't go and preach any real social justice anywhere within the Catholic Church, or you won't be a priest for very long.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Shane's story is far more interesting.
Yeah, Shane, tell the story.
Probably gels more with the American ideal of Christianity, too.
Well, I mentioned earlier, I think, that I was raised fundamentalist, or raised with a fundamentalist mother, and I think I got baptized when I was about 10 or 11, out of choice, born again, and all that sort of thing. I mean, as much as you can choose something when you're that age.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And it really affected my life. I believed I had, you know, experiences. I had, at some stage, we had the church was a fairly oldish church, but we had a pretty vibrant youth group. And when I got involved with that, there was, you know, speaking in tongues and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, wow, speaking in tongues, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I know when Christians talk about receiving the Holy Spirit and all that sort of thing, I understand what they mean. Like, it's not a real thing, but I understand the feeling that they're talking about. And I think, not to take it back to music again, but most people have, when you see your favorite band and you're there and it's the sort of the perfect concert and everything sounds great and you're just loving it, that's kind of, you know, a variation of what it feels like.
Yeah, just like belonging, kind of. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But if you have a central focus on you believing that they're playing there just for you, and that's it, and that every word that they're saying and every note that they're playing is just for you, that's what it would be like. And it's pretty incredible, pretty full on. I didn't get touched up by priests either.
No, the Christians don't do that, right?
No, they do, but I got it, during my later, probably 15, 16 sort of thing. That's when I started veering into the secular world. Didn't really come into my life until I was probably about 15 or 16, and of course, being interested in girls and stuff at that stage as well sort of tore you away a little bit.
Yeah, distract you.
Or just not just interest in girls, but just having desires kind of thing just started taking you away from and being told that those desires were evil, wrong, sinful.
Yeah, because they're kind of like natural things, feelings, right?
Exactly. And that's when, you know, things start, you know, the whole dissonance thing sort of starts up. And, it was an extremely slow process from there. You know, eventually you I stopped going to church. I did the usual thing of asking questions and stuff. I would get in trouble all the time. I started, you know, drinking when I was younger. I started smoking weed. I started going out nightclubs and stuff like that. So that all impacted. But at the same time, I still believed fully. I just believed that all these bad things I was doing, I was getting forgiven for because I was asking for it.
Yeah.
Right. So but you know, the snowball already started, sort of thing. So it was, I was, you know, rolling downhill, sliding. Backsliding by that stage, and it just probably by the time I was in my early 20s, I was out of it. I completely stopped going to church, but I didn't really call myself an atheist until probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and it was because of the Demon Haunted World.
Yeah,
when I picked up that book and started reading it, and just went, holy fuck. Because I spent a lot of years just drifting around doing, you know, whatever anyway, and not really thinking about my life, not really living in the moment, just being a drunk and a stoner and
cruising.
Cruising, yeah. And once I pulled myself together and started just looking at the world around me, things sort of came into focus, and I found... because my mother was still highly religious, and I would go over and visit her, and she'd have a big pile of Creation magazines sitting there and stuff, and I'd read them.
Nice.
And I'd be sitting there frustrated with it all, but not knowing why I was frustrated with it at the time, like 10 years ago or whatever. And then once again, like I said, when I picked up Demon Haunted World, things just started opening up for me. And from there on, I just dove into it. Full time, but almost, if I wasn't doing music, then I was just, you know, learning or trying to at least the best I could. Yeah, and that was it. It's
Is your mom pissed off at you?
Sorry?
Is your mom pissed off?
She's in denial, like you were saying before. She knows that I'm an atheist. I've got stuff all over my house.
She just ignores it.
That tells her that. I've never said it to her though. I've never said, "Mom," I sat her down and said, "Mom, I'm, you know, I'm an atheist," because I don't see the point. You know, she'd probably just sit there and shake her head. I don't really want to upset her when she already kind of knows anyway.
Yeah,
I have discussions with her about because she writes pamphlets and stuff for Bible teachings in for young people at the church that she attends and stuff.
You got to get her to stop that.
Yeah, I talked to her about the because she shows me the pamphlets and stuff. Like she still gives me books. She gave me that Purpose Driven Life book. I can't remember who it was by again. And I read like the first probably 40 pages, and I gave it back to her, and I said, "This is not for me. This isn't
this
really
is crap.
For anybody." Yeah, this isn't really for anybody. This person isn't telling me anything that isn't either common knowledge or isn't based on some weird fucking idea of morality that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
But it's she still tries, but she doesn't try like she used to before. I mean, she stopped asking me to go to church with her at Easter and Christmas a couple of years ago now. So yeah, it's. As far as our relationship is concerned, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, at least there's no animosity or any stress over it, really. You know, and like you said, sometimes it's better not to say anything.
No, I don't have to hide who I am, but and she doesn't have to, but I don't want her to hide who she is either.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like when I argue with people on different social medias about being an atheist, and someone saying, you know, the only real, like, you know, you can only really be an agnostic. How can you say that you're an atheist, you don't know, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, yeah,
whatever. I don't care. What, that's just your point of view, and that's brilliant. And you can take that to the bank. I actually agree with you. Like, your agnosticism is really the only
reasonable,
philosophical, yeah, reasonable point of view.
Yeah.
But I have chosen to say that there is no God, and that's my choice. And fuck off.
Yeah, there might as well not be. I mean, it, you know, the level of of agnostic.
And as individuals, we do very little harm to one another. I dislike my mother's belief system, but I'm not going to tell my mother what to do with her life.
Yeah,
she's chosen the things that she's chosen. Over the last few years, I've seen changes in the way that she's 5 or 6 years ago, she firmly believed that females should have no voice whatsoever in the church. Now, wow, that's different now because of, and I believe that's because of things that I've said to her.
Yeah.
So my you know, atheism has helped her.
Yeah. I think that religion will evolve it out of itself eventually.
Eventually.
I mean, it already is doing that. I mean, look at the changes that over the last, you know, that it's gone through already, where there's gays are more accepted than they used to be. You know, you don't have slaves anymore. So it kind of evolves. We evolve out of it, but it's just so slow.
Absolutely.
The process is so slow.
Yeah. Well,
can I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Yes.
Because my mum is heavily involved in the parish and in the Catholic parish and does all sorts of stuff with adult faith education and all that sort of stuff. I didn't know that about Shane's mum, so that's quite interesting that they're very similar in that way. They're organisers sort of thing. Is that what you're saying, Shane?
Yeah.
Your mum's a bit of an organiser? Yeah, my mum is a bit of an organiser of things. But at this stage, I think losing that community for my mum would be terribly hard on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just because not all her friends are Catholic or anything, but she has a lot of Catholic friends and my dad's not around anymore. So he's passed on, as Shane said. So it would be very hard for her to lose that. So I'm sort of sitting on the fence. I snipe at her religion and she snipes at my atheism.
Yeah.
At a very low level, we never offend each other, really. I think it would be very difficult for her to lose her faith at this stage in her life.
And I don't,
same with my mum too. Like, I wouldn't want her to lose her faith at all, ever. Sort of thing. And I don't want, that's the thing, I don't want anyone's faith to disappear when it comes to that sort of thing. It's just when, it's when it intersects with other people's lives
exactly.
that don't have that faith. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Plus, we can hedge our bets because, you know, if our mums are okay with God, then maybe we'll get in too.
Exactly, just in case. It's your backup plan. And I think it's a lot of people do depend on the social interaction. Religion, if it wasn't for religion, they wouldn't have any. You know, especially here in the United States, like in the Bible Belt, there's a lot of small towns where everything that's social in their town is supported by the church or put on by the church or, you know, organized by the church.
It's a brilliant model as far as community is concerned. It's a really, you know, a very strong model. It's unfortunate that it's grounded in bullshit. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, and it's only when that bullshit intersects with harming other people. That's the fucking problem. That's part of the reasons why we do them.
Or injecting themselves into other people's lives. I don't want my life or my kids' lives affected by people who are believing in imaginary shit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And, you know,
I want my utopian science-based future. That's what I want. I want flying cars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. It's the religious that are holding the flying cars back. The fact that a lot of religious people don't even understand that the religious freedoms that atheists fight for, they're actually fighting for the freedom for religion.
Yeah.
Is so that they can have their religion and other people can have their religions. And that religious freedom that the Christians, especially in the US and in Australia, because they're the main groups here in both those countries, are fighting for, claiming persecution or restriction of religious freedoms. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, they're doing that here too.
It's not.
Yeah.
They want more control. They just want more control. You know, if they're not getting it, then they claim that's a restriction.
They're being oppressed.
No. Yeah.
And if we weren't here, they'd fight amongst themselves anyway. They'd go back to fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If there wasn't actually a secular society that these groups were living in, then there would be a controlling group, and in Australia and in the US, I'm guessing that would be Christian, and all the other groups would have to try to survive within those societies, and they might, but for how long I don't know, I don't think they understand what they're fighting for when they're fighting for religious freedom.
They're just fighting.
It's the secularists that are actually fighting for freedom, actual religious freedom, I think.
Yeah.
Allowing everyone to have their own choice is, I think, the most obvious way to go.
I didn't sign up for that. I'm not fighting for anyone else's religious freedom.
You are, you just don't know it.
Yeah, Shane's manipulated me.
Yeah, is that background masking? You guys got to get some background masking so you can get some mind control going on. Jesus isn't real. I'm telling you, you got to do a podcast that's all backwards.
Fortunately, Shane's Skype connection is usually so shitty that it doesn't come through.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, kind of getting that impression listening to him today.
And Shane too.
That's
the last time that you deep throat me just before the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough.
Often, constantly.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have given me the man flu, man.
I'm glad you guys could settle that on this podcast. I'm flattered. All right, let's wrap it up by each one of you giving some final words to the listening audience.
Okay, this is G. Listen to the Full Frontal Zealotry podcast, or I'll get bored and stop doing it.
And then you'll all be screwed.
At least, how many listeners do we want, Jane?
Three.
My ego requires at least three listeners to do the podcast. So please listen to the Full Frontal Zealotry podcast. Praise Jesus.
Gotta love Jesus.
We love Jesus.
Best marketing scam ever. All right, Shane.
Love all music.
Hey, actually, was that Jesus dying and then coming back 3 days later? Was that like he died, make everyone feel really sad, and they're all like, "Oh, he's gone! I'm so sad!" And then somebody jumps out and goes, "Surprise, guys, I'm back!" And they're
gotcha.
All really happy.
Yeah,
they probably put him to death again after that.
Talking about being needy.
Yeah, they pummeled him to death after that.
He's like, "I wonder if anybody would miss me if I was dead." Let's test it out.
Because they're not going to heaven.
I don't. Final words. I think we need a bigger boat.
Yeah. That's what Noah said.
I think we need a flood.
Yeah. Can you imagine how creepy it was on that fucking ark with all them dead bodies bumping up against it and shit while it was floating around?
Oh, wow. An image I haven't thought of.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about that. But there had to be a shitload of dead bodies bumping up against that thing when they were first taken off, you know?
I wonder.
Hey, isn't that Fred from down the street?
Yeah, you know, Darren Aronofsky's doing the Noah movie with Russell Crowe.
Yep.
Really?
It's a full-on, big-budget, proper, serious Noah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, starring Russell Crowe, though.
But Darren Aronofsky, he's the guy that did Pi and Requiem for a Dream and Black Swan. So he's pretty serious and intense filmmaker. So it would be, I wonder if he'll go down that path of having all the baby's bodies bumping up against the boat.
I don't know, but he should.
He should. That would be, I had no interest in seeing that movie until you said that.
it won't be a whole pile of them. It'll be just one body. I'll just see one human being. Because it'll be really artsy and cool.
Yeah. Or maybe just an arm.
Sorry.
An arm or a leg, you know. Just random body parts every once in a while.
Yeah.
No, I can catch him when he's fishing.
It still shocks me that they still feel the need to keep making these stories. And I wonder if they're going to do the aftermath of everyone getting drunk and having sex with each other and shit. And
I know, the family had getting drunk and having sex with each other.
Yeah.
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 That's what new porn's for.
Well, that'll be the parody anyway.
That's funny. Okay, fellas. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me.
No worries.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Yeah, and there'll be a link to the podcast in the podcast description. And if you ever need somebody to hang out and be an asshole with you guys, let me know.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. We don't mind being assholes.
I don't know.
So is that an offer? Do you want to come on our podcast, Rick?
It depends. Do I get to do background masking?
You won't get any more listeners.
I don't care about that. I've never cared about listeners. You couldn't tell?
We hate the listeners. Hey, this is great. We're all.
I don't hate them. I mean, if they come along, that's cool.
No. But, yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. I do. Anyone that thinks that I am worth listening to is a fucking idiot.
Hey, you know what? We might be able to get like 6 listeners if we join together.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. All right, you guys. Yeah. Say goodbye so I can cut this off.
See you, Ray.
All right.
Okay, that'll wrap up another podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. Make sure you give a listen to Full Frontal Zealotry. It's a good podcast. The link is in the podcast description. Don't forget to share the podcast with your friends and neighbors, enemies, people who might be potential enemies later in the future, people you hardly know, people you've known for years, your mom, your dad, your cat. No, don't share it with your cat. Share it with your dog. Your cat can go to hell. I don't like cats. Stay tuned. Another podcast will be coming up pretty soon. Okay. See you next podcast.